Our scripture reading is 1 Timothy chapter 5, 17 through 21. 1 Timothy chapter 5, 17 through 21. Let us hear God's word. The elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, "Do not muzzle the ox while it is treading out the grain, and the worker deserves his wages." Do not entertain an accusation against an elder unless it is brought by two or three witnesses. Those who sin are to be rebuked publicly so that the others may take warning. I charge you in the sight of God and Christ Jesus and the elect angels to keep these instructions without partiality and to do nothing out of favoritism. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we come to you now asking that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see your glory. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. When one becomes a Christian, they are not brought into a democracy where the majority rules. Neither are they brought into a republic where you vote upon your representatives and then they take care of business. No, when you become a Christian, you are brought into a kingdom. You are brought into a monarchy. You have a king who rules over you. He rules with absolute power, absolute sovereignty. The scripture says that many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's will that prevails. Job says, "Lord, I know you can do all things. Your plan cannot be thwarted." The psalmist says, "Our God is in heaven and he does whatever pleases him." The prophet Daniel says, "His dominion is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. No one can hold him back. What he says, he does." Again from the prophet Daniel. "He has been given authority and glory and sovereign power. All the peoples, nations, and men from every language will worship him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed." The apostle Paul, writing to Timothy, says, "Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." Who are they talking about? Who is this King of glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory. Jesus Christ is the King of glory, and he rules heaven and he rules the earth. Whatever he desires comes to pass. All that he has purposed from all eternity, before anything was even created, that which he has planned from all eternity has come to pass, is coming to pass, and will come to pass. He speaks, and with the power of his word, the seasons change. Summer goes into fall. Fall goes into winter. Winter gives way to spring. He speaks, and the entire creation responds. The earth is his, and everything in it. All those who live therein belong to Him. The creeping things along the ground, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, even all the kings of the earth, they are in His hand, and He does whatever He has purposed to do. He speaks, and nations are torn down. He speaks again, and nations are built up. He decrees that life be given. And He decrees life being taken away. He has established our times, even before the creation of the world. Our times that we are on this earth has already been determined by Him. And when His purpose for us is over, then He will call us to Him. He speaks, and we are saved from sin. He speaks again, and He allows us to fall into sin, just as He did with Job and Peter. He is able to save, but He's also able to throw us into hell. Therefore, His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. He is ever present. He is all knowing. He is three times holy. He is eternal. Therefore, His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. It is a holy kingdom, a righteous kingdom, a kingdom of love and mercy. And this King's name is Jesus. If you are a Christian, if you are trusting solely in the sacrifice of this King, of Jesus Christ, then you are in His kingdom. If you are not trusting Him, my friend, you're still living in a monarchy, but you are no longer living as a child of the King. Instead, you are living as an enemy of the King. But the question does arise, how does Jesus Christ rule His kingdom? We don't see Him. He's not on television. He's not on the internet. How do we see Him ruling the creation and ruling His church? Well, He rules by the Word, the Holy Bible, both Old and New Testaments. Nothing is to be added to them. Nothing is to be taken away. They are our only rule of faith and practice. All we need to know about God is in the Scriptures. All we need to know as to how do I get into His kingdom? It's in the Scriptures. All we need to know about how to love one another as we would love ourselves, it's in the Scriptures. All we need to know about God, all we need to know about our responsibilities before God, they are all found in the sacred text. But preacher, maybe God has just left us alone with the Bible, and then we got to figure out what's in the Bible and how this fits with this and this fits with that. Maybe that's what we got to do. No. How then has Jesus Christ determined for us to know His will? Well, His purpose is to rule His church through the office of elder. In Titus chapter 1, Paul tells Titus to ordain elders in every church that they may oversee the work of the church by sound doctrine and thus help others to remain faithful to Jesus Christ. Likewise, Paul tells Timothy, who was himself an elder, he says, watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourselves and your hearers. Think about how serious that is. I could call out the names of all the elders in this church, and I could say, watch your life and your doctrine closely, because by doing so, not only will you save yourselves, but you will save those in your congregation. I remember when I was in college during the summers, I would work in the phosphate mines. Grew up in Florida. A lot of phosphate, a lot of oranges. Sometimes I picked oranges. They got big thorns. You don't want to pick oranges. But I mostly worked in the phosphate mines. And one particular summer, I was put in acid maintenance. It sounds as bad as it really was. There were tanks of sediment that had been soaked in acid. So remember now, you're in Florida during the summer. It's 100 degrees already. And you're being called to go into this tank. And you got to bend over the whole time like this. You can't straighten up. You have to wear protective gloves, helmet, shield, dress wear to protect you from the acid. And it is your job to take a shovel and start knocking the sediment off the walls of this tank and then scooping it up and throwing it out. There's a reason I went to college. That was an awful job. It was terrible. Elders, you were called to a very difficult job. Sometimes it is very rewarding. Sometimes it is very difficult. And in those difficult times, we begin to think, I don't want to do this anymore. When I would throw the acid sediment out, I could feel it hitting my cheek, and it would all that for about $9 an hour, which was a fortune way back then. But it was a difficult job. And sometimes I can find myself thinking, you know, I'd much rather be down in that tank than having to deal with some of the issues that elders have to deal with. But then I come back to my senses and say, well, it is not me who is being served here, but Jesus Christ and His church. Paul tells the Ephesian elders, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Gentlemen, God has called you to be overseers of this congregation. Be shepherds of the church of God, which, listen, shepherds of the church of God, which Christ bought with His own blood. Peter writes, be shepherds of God's flock that are under your care. You have the responsibility of taking spiritual care over those whom Christ has died for. I want to go back in the tent or in the tank. Why? Because sometimes it's hard. It's just hard. Sometimes it's painful. But again, I am not here to serve myself. I'm here to serve you. Christ has set aside the elders for the purpose of shepherding the church. The church is not a business, though there are business aspects of the church, but the church is not a business. We're not here trying to earn money. No. We're not a business. We're not run by a president or a CEO or a board of trustees. Instead, the church is a monarchy. We have a king. And this king rules over the church by the Holy Spirit guiding and directing the elders. Now, this is very hard to grasp because our culture, from the beginning of our life to the end, our culture teaches us that we can serve ourselves. We want to be the first in the pizza line. Now, I hope you get your pizza, but what I really hope is that I get the pizza first. Right? Yeah. We are all want to be number one. But to be an elder, you've got to be willing to lay down your life for the sheep, because you are the under-shepherds of the shepherd. Many times we look at the church as a human organization, and if things don't go the way we want them to go, we start pointing fingers and saying malicious things to people or about them. Well, that's how human organizations work, especially in business and in politics. But the church is not a human organization. It is the body of Christ. The body of Christ that God has called shepherds to take care of. So many times if you ask people, well, who is the head of the church? You know who they're going to say? Well, that's the preacher's job. No, preacher is not the head of the church. One elder is not the head of the church. Several elders are not the head of the church. Christ Jesus alone is king. Moses had a daunting task laid before him. And there was at times that he says, I'm done with this. I'm going to go home and watch the football game. I don't want to be bothered by anybody. But you know what? Jesus wouldn't let him off of the hook. It ended up that pastors were given to Moses in order to do the work of the church as the people came out of Egypt. I mean, think about it. Even Jesus had apostles. They had their responsibility, even in before Jesus was crucified. They had their responsibilities, and he held them accountable to it. Thus, the elders, not one elder. One elder has no authority. Elders only have authority as they are together in the session. Thus, the elders, together, rule the church according to God's word. God works through the session. He doesn't direct the affairs of the church through individuals or through one elder Ladies, I'm sorry. But Christ does not direct the affairs of the church through the WOC. Y'all have a place of service, but you do not have authority in the church. Christ has that authority, and He gives it to the elders. Thus, the elders, gentlemen, listen to me. The elders must be men of the Word and men of prayer. They must be zealous for the Lord by seeing that His will is done in the church. And those who do well, Paul says to Timothy, they gain an excellent standing and great assurance in their faith in Jesus Christ. As you are faithful to your work, there is, and we don't know what it is, we don't know how it's going to work out, but what we do know is that as you are faithful in your work, there's a great reward laid up for you as under shepherds to Jesus Christ. It's not a reward in financial things, but it is a reward nonetheless in what Christ will give to you. Let me just close by asking, what is your attitude towards this session? We have a good session. We have a good congregation. You know, we do not have the struggles and the hardship that other churches do. And we should be very thankful of that. And the reasons that we don't have those problems is because we have good elders. But because we have good elders, the evil one will always seek to attack us by undermining the session. We don't have that, but I'm telling you, that's what will happen if the elders don't remain faithful to the Word and be men of prayer. Keep your session in prayer. We have been called to shepherd you in the way of the Lord. Let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you for the elders that you have given us. We ask your blessings upon them and their families. We pray, heavenly Father, that we would be faithful in all the shepherding and all the responsibilities that you give us. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's close our worship this morning by singing a hymn of response. Let's stand and sing 697. 697.